For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, Madonna Hines, Mia Hansen Aloha, and Christy Doherty. We love you, girls. Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we'd love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV and the Rose Pricks Bachelor Podcast. And here I am with my wonderful friend Ben Mandelker, gorgeous, tall, statuesque, from the B-Side blog and the Banter Blender. Hello, Bean.
Hello there. You know what? It's Friday, which means you only have a few days left to get tickets to the Watch What Crappens live show that we're doing this Tuesday, May 9th at the Hollywood Improv at 10 p.m. with special super funny guest Michelle Collins. I hope you all get a ticket because if we have to be doing this to a bunch of empty chairs, well, it'll be just like doing a regular podcast, but still.
It'll be like a regular podcast with drinking and Michelle, so whatever. But come, it'll be fun. And then, I mean, I'm planning on hanging out after and slinging a few back.
Yeah.
We don't record that Wednesday, so.
Yeah, oh my god. It's going to be a huge amount of fun. Every time we've done a live show, we just have a great time. We did one with Malls back in September at the Podfest. We did one last April where it was just the two of us, no special guests, and we had a great time there. And then afterwards we wound up at Pump, didn't we not?
Yeah.
It's always so a great fun. Time. It's if not for us, it's just great to for all the listeners to meet each other and for us to meet listeners and to see people. It's a great time. So yeah, I really hope you guys come.
It's not only fun to hear people laugh, it's also fun to hear people groan. I never really understood how much I make people groan until we did the live shows. And man, I get off on those groans when I make a really rude joke and everyone's like, oh, yeah. Damn it. How could you be so wrong? That fills my heart with just as much joy as the laughs do. So come groan at me. Come on, guys.
Yeah, come groan at us. Come groan. And if you're really nice, we'll let you know there's another special guest. Hillary Clinton. No, just kidding. There's just the three of us.
Oh, God.
Could you imagine?
Oh, jeez. We'll be like, so, emails. I'm just kidding. Ramona would be all excited. You know, there's something about her emails, okay?
She's a crook, okay? You're a crook. Boo, boo. Get off the stage. I'm going to throw a tomato, okay?
Hashtag Hillary for prison, okay? But today...
Lock her up, okay?
But today... Oh, you know what? There is... You know... No, I'm not going to tell you, but I'll tell you in another episode because I'm not prepared. So instead, let's go...
I want to know now.
As usual, I'm not prepared to tell you about that right now. Let's talk about the Real Housewives of Potomac.
Woo! Potomac. I really enjoy Potomac. Even if it's a little bit of the runt of the litter these days, I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it too. I'm really liking the fact that the women know now when it's time to fight.
Yes.
It's very funny how these women are like, oh, it's a fight? Okay, so-and-so, come to the backyard. Okay, calling so... Like, they literally will go get each other, and they're like, it's time to fight in a driveway.
Yeah.
And then every...
It's always on a drive in a driveway. And I like how the show, every scene, it looks like it's really humid out, and that it had just rained, or it's just about to rain. I feel like at all times, someone should be getting an umbrella.
This is also the only Housewives show that we get consistent emails every week saying, I've been to that restaurant, and it is so low rent. I cannot believe they're trying to make that look like a fancy restaurant or something. There's someone dissing some location that they're at, which, you know, I love some location shade, Bean.
Yeah, I do too. So this week's episode, it was sort of... It caught me off guard at first because It just opens and we're at Monique's house and everyone's already there. The scene's like already started. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. And I was like, whoa, this would be a good episode because they're already at this party and they're already about to start fighting and we have a whole hour to go. And then I was like, wait a second. This is the classic Housewives device. And sure enough, it was like, ha, da, 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 and it's like 1 week earlier. So it's like, ooh, good. This is going to be a good episode. We're leading up to some major shit today.
Yes, whenever they rip off Memento or Sunset Boulevard, you know we're in for a treat. It's like, let's start with
I
the
thought it
dead
was
body in
amazing.
the pool, which equals, Monique, or, Monique yelling about macaroni and cheese.
I
It's
mean,
like,
when Karen Huger came down the stairs in a turban and a robe, I was like, thank God they're going into the Sunset Boulevard
I cannot
territory.
believe someone has been shot in my pool. What terrible manners. I shall sit on this patio furniture in my dining room and lean back very far to talk about how offended I am.
I used to be in the pictures, shown on the tube TVs. I'm
It's.
ready for my close-up, Mr. Black Bill Gates.
I am big. It's the televisions that got tube.
I am big. It's the televisions that got too thin and rectangular-like.
I am big. It's the televisions that got smart.
It's the fax machines that became digital and in my computers.
We're already starting off the rails. So what happened before? Rewind, rewind, rewind. A lot of coffee. A lot of it started with lots of very strong coffee.
Yes,
So.
Monique. We see Monique meeting with her party planner, Leif, spelled Leaph. I don't even understand this one. Was her name like really like Leah Fala or something like that? And she just like abbreviated to Leif, spelled incorrectly. I just don't understand.
Or Leah PH. Like
Like, was her.
she never finished her PhD. She just got a PH.
Maybe it's like one of those weird things. You know how some parents name their kids like a mashup, like Bennifer. They'll just be like the mom's name was
Leah.
Leah and the dad's name was Steven, so she just became Leaf. Leafin.
Leaf girl.
Leaf.
That
I just
name.
don't. I don't. You know what? She can't help it. She was named that, but.
Well, everybody else has made up their name. Why the hell can't she? You think Giselle, Giselle probably doesn't want to walk around named Jiz either. So never mind. That takes my whole thing out. That blows my whole thing out of the water. But yeah,
So,
she's with Leaf and her cousin Hank, who looks like he could give Cal a run for his money. Because she's like, I'm gonna bring my shady cousin to throw shade at everybody, so I don't really have to as much.
yeah, because the context is that Monique is gonna put on a barbecue and like a spades party, and we know game nights do not go well. If there's anything that works worse than a dinner party on these shows, it's a game night, and then a game night dinner party. I mean, it's already gonna be a disaster.
I
So,
love that she has a party planner and she goes, well, I don't want it to be too formal. It's going to be a side yard barbecue. It's like, why do you need
side
a
yard.
fucking party planner? You guys are making all your own food. Put out some goddamn plastic forks,
And
Leaf.
also, I was like, what's a side yard? I mean, I know I can figure out what a side yard is, but I don't know. I just, that really bothered me. Between leaf and side yard, I was already just discombobulated. So, yeah, Monique, so there. Monique's sitting here bragging about how she loves to entertain while she has a party planner. And I guess, her cousin Hank is straight because Monique is trying to set Hank up with Shasha, which seems like not a wise idea.
So he's straight and jobless, basically.
Yeah. And Monique's talking about how, yeah, all the girls are great except for Giselle because Giselle has a stank attitude, which is true, but that's the reason why I like Giselle. I mean, Giselle is a huge bitch, and you hate that about her. I love it about her.
I liked that Monique basically gave us the backstory of being incredibly cheap as well, because she said, well, we heard back from the agent, but they didn't like our offer. They were insulted, quote unquote, insulted. I mean, I don't know why people act a certain way just because of a zip code where they reside. Monique's sentence structure is becoming fucking fascinating to me. She never shuts up and she hardly makes sense. And I'm
Yes.
actually really liking it.
Yeah, I mean, I actually don't mind. I don't mind her that much. I do think though that she's like a. I think that she's a bragger. She is a crazy bragger, and that's kind of annoying. But it's fun watching her clash with housewives, so
Yes,
that's
and
good.
it's fun watching her do everything like a rich person, like, oh, it's in our side yard, not our full yard, which is huge.
Yeah.
Or when she says things like, look, I'm gonna have some water out of my snakeskin water bottle. It's like, shut up, a snakeskin
Yeah.
water bottle. And this is why I think that Hank is her Cal, because he goes, Cal makes no sense, by the way. Cal
Yeah.
makes no sense in any of his disses. And so Hank goes, well, I think that's funny. She tried to shoot you with a BB gun, not knowing you loaded. I'm like,
Yeah, I was like, that doesn't matter if
oh,
you've already been shot. I guess,
that's
but
such a Cal. That's so Cal.
I guess the idea is that she, I mean, I actually get, I get his shade, meaning that like you're gonna come and shoot me with a BB gun, it's gonna sort of hurt me, but I'm gonna come and I'm gonna destroy you. I'm gonna finish you with my shotgun.
Or
Just
that
as I'm
snakeskin
sorry,
water
I'll be
bottle.
the Hank interpreter, everyone.
Okay, yeah, please. Hank and Cal, that's your duty.
So, but anyway, but then we never see Hank again because then we go over to Sharice.
Tata.
Shatha and her friend Josette. I mean, I Josette, I can't. I cannot.
It's like her mom's name was Janet and her dad's name
Jasmine.
was Gazette.
Well, they named her after her their two favorite things, jazz and gazettes. We love hearing about things and we love music. So let's name our daughter Jazette. So they're visiting a woman named Amber. Because they're all in the National Basketball Wives Association, and Shasha wants to do an event because she's like the interim president of the organization. But since she's leaving Eddie, she has to leave the NBWA, and so she's going to do one last foundation, some fundraiser to learn about people. Da 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 da.
I want to reinvent the organization before I leave forever.
Yeah. I want the organization to go from Cherise to Shasha. If I could, I would have it in my champagne room, but the champagne room is not open just yet.
Starting my own charity, the National Basketball Shasha Association.
Former Basketball Wives Association of America. So she's basically just touring around this house,
And
which
her
is nice.
friend is like, you're not leaving. I just don't believe you're leaving. You're staying as president forever. And she's like, I will shoot this basketball, and if I make the basket, I'll stay. And if I miss it, Sasha will go. And she misses. She goes, Sasha goes.
Josette is crying in the corner. Classic Josette. So then we go over to Oz, the Oz restaurant that Ashley's running.
Oh,
And you know, one thing
good.
I really like about this restaurant, this whole restaurant storyline, is that there's no pretense about it. Ash is like, the manager's like, yeah, so we just had the slowest week we've ever had. And Ash is like, oh. And talking about how the reviews are just getting worse and worse and worse. Like, they showed a review that was like, the emu was dry and the kangaroo had a funky smell. Will not be returning. And I was just like, this is so refreshing compared to all those other, you know, restaurant things where people open up restaurants on these shows or do business things. They're like, it's really taking off. We're going to take over this city with business is really flowing now. I'm like, I'm glad that they just embrace how shitty their restaurant is.
Yeah, this is no Kenya Moore hair care or
Yeah.
whatever. So she's Ashley, you know, this is why this business is failing, other than stinky kangaroo meat. Ashley says things like, well, I need help, so I need help with PR, so naturally I called Robin. Oh, good.
Oh, Robin. Yeah,
Robin
Rob.
just moved 2 hours out of town, okay? I don't know
Yeah.
that I'd be calling Robin for advice.
Yeah. So Robin comes over to the restaurant.
Hey,
Hey,
whoa, hey,
oh.
whoa. Smells weird
Okay.
in here. And you hear a glass break, and Ashley goes, oh, that is the second glass that's broken today. I'm never gonna have a baby.
You know it's bad when they're counting glass inventory, right? I feel like glasses cost a restaurant 2 cents, you know? Oh no, please tell me that was a Jewish wedding and not some of our inventory.
So Robin's like, well, I've got some ideas. First, I was
Why
thinking
don't
you could revamp the menu and then you can invite the reviewers back out.
And then maybe you could move in with the reviewers, but like not have a relationship, just like co-parent the restaurant together.
Yeah, it's important that you give the reviewers their space. If the reviewers want to fuck you, just lay there and take it. But if they want to fuck somebody else, that's up to them.
These questions about the reviewers are getting really old really fast. Like, it's none of your business what the reviewers are doing. I mean, it's about your business, but it's not your business.
Okay, two things. A, they can't revamp the menu. That's the fucking problem. Michael won't let them, which Ashley doesn't even get into. And B, can you just re-invite Yelp people back out? It's not like they were showing the Potomac Time or the Potomac Gazette, if you will, reviews. They were showing Yelp.
As someone who writes about food every now and then on his blog, and was when I was blogging more heavily, I used to get invited to all these blogger dinners at restaurants. You most certainly can always invite bloggers back out because food bloggers love a free meal. I'm telling you, I'm one of them.
But Yelp?
And let me tell you something. One of my least favorite restaurants in all of Los Angeles is Mohawk Bend in Echo Park. And I've been to like
I just went there.
Literally, it's a terrible. Like, I've never had a good meal there. Ever. Ever.
The burger's good. That's all I have.
Everything tastes like sawdust, okay? And I've been there so many times, and half of the reason why I've been there at least three times on blogger meals. I went there for like two dinners and one brunch, and it's always like, try our new menu. It's always kind of like, yeah, we've improved it a little bit, and it's always been shitty, but I go back because it's free. Now let me tell you something, that place is super popular, and I have no idea why. I think maybe people at Echo Park don't know what's up. It is literally terrible food.
I think it's just like, really, a gorgeous space, because whenever I go there, it's just like hipsters kind of having french fries and looking at each other with their weird like glasses without lenses and, you know, plaid shirts and like little girl baby Jane dresses from the 50s and shit.
Yeah, I think people go there because it's like one of the few restaurants in LA that has like a very large vegan menu, but it's not a precious vegan place. It's like a cool place where you can get, you know, beer, and it's like the venue is great. And if you go there for drinks, it's fine. But I'm telling you, I remember the last time I went, I was like, I am never coming back here. I've now given this place so many chances. I remember one time they served, it's supposed to be like beignets, and they used pizza dough. It was like these tough, tough bread balls with like sugar on the outside. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, pizza dough does not a beignet make, okay, people?
I'm sorry. Like, I mean, there have been some things there that have been actually nice. They do their vegetables nicely, that you can get like a good roasted vegetable situation, whatever. But their main shit, especially their pizza, they're like, try our vegan pizza. Oh, no, stay away.
So basically what you're saying is, after you go eat there, you don't feel like Gwyneth Paltrow when her vag just got steamed? Because that's what Ashley says. Robin's like, we'll revamp the menu, and then we can have a gay event here for DC Pride. And Ashley goes, I feel like Gwyneth Paltrow and my vag just got a steam session, so reinvigorated.
Somehow I missed that line of dialogue. Maybe I was already like in a Mohawk Bend space where it was like my eyes were burning with rage. And but I do have to say, no one will be more excited than a Pride event at Oz than Michael. When Ashley's like, yeah, we'll have – I mean, Robin was like, yeah, we'll have some guys, you know, walking their shirts off with dog collars on. I was like, Michael will be – through. He'll be the one on the floor on all fours with like a leash, okay? Yeah, he is totally ready.
Finally, a party Michael can go to and grab ass and not get called gay for, you know?
Yeah. But all the gays will be like, ew, who's this old man touching my ass?
So Robin pretty much has the finger on the very slow pulse. She's like, I've never heard anyone say, ooh, I want Australian food. So Ashley's like, okay, let's change the subject. I want you to speed date. Don't let all this go to waste. Because one cheated, you know, and one time a girl came in and said really trashy rumors about Juan. And she's like, this is not your issue.
Yeah. Ashley's struggling because she heard all these rumors about Juan, but then she doesn't really know if she should tell Robin or not. So she sort of decides to hold on to it, which blows up in her face sort of later.
Yeah. And she tells her,
Girl, you could be sailing the world with somebody who values you.
And then Robin gets defensive and she's like, is that what she did? Found a man to sail the seas with? Let's talk about how gold diggerish that sounds.
I was like, okay, I think that maybe we have unearthed some sort of insecurity you have, because that's just sort of like a general aspirational thing you say. Like, you're going to go and live a happy, exciting life, etc.
Oh, sorry, good. Like, so she's already getting
donuts
pissed
outside.
At, she's already getting pissed at Ashley for starting this stuff. So now we get the segment of everybody's getting ready. It's like, ba-dum, dum,
I love,
ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum,
I love their getting ready music.
Yeah, I like their getting ready music on this show, too. So yeah. Jizz is doing yoga, and her yoga instructor goes, now, inhale your right leg as high as you can. And I was like, girl, this is how they do yoga in Potomac. Girl, you're going to choke. You inhale your right leg.
Yeah. My favorite of that montage was when Robin's like, kids, come downstairs. And like those hyperactive children hurled themselves down the staircase. They just like, they didn't run down. They literally like fell down onto the ground. They're like, pew.
And then Ashley in the restaurant trying to teach someone on an iPad. And she's like,
oh, I remember paying attention.
Doesn't know how to do it.
Oh, wait a second. This isn't the accounting app. This is Grindr. Why do we have Grindr on the iPad here? This guy looks like Michael. His name is Emu Imu. You know, that's so smart of Michael to go on Grindr to get new customers for the restaurant. That's so good of him.
So our next scene is Karen and her sister Bridget driving in Richmond. And Karen's like, what if I move to Richmond? Just kidding.
They were actually really funny together. They went to a cake place to fetch a cake because their mom's 70th birthday is coming up, and the mom has early dementia, and Bridget's the caretaker, so they're just doing that.
I was confused. Didn't they say her 87th birthday, and then they switched it to 70 later? Like, does she just...
Well, it's funny that you should say that. I'm not sure, because when they said 70th, this is jumping ahead, but when we saw the mom, I was like, I don't think this woman's 70. I think that she is at least 75, if not 80. And I think that they're saying 70 to age down Karen. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be – I know that's like a really catty thing to say, but I was like, there's no way this woman's 70.
Yeah, because she – because Karen's probably like late 50s, right?
Probably.
So, I mean, who knows? But I thought they – I wrote down 87th birthday, so I was surprised later. I was like, maybe that's just how they respect their mom. You know, it's like you hit 70 and you never go forward or whatever. It's like gays do
maybe.
When we hit 28.
Yeah. Either way, I thought Karen and her sister were super funny together. And I love, like, Bridget walks up to the bakery and turns to Karen's like, well, are you going to open the door for me? And then Karen's like, well, I'm just going to walk slowly then. And she just like walks very slowly. And I don't know why. For some reason, I thought that was like the funniest thing ever.
It's like, not hard to please Bridget. You just do what she says. The only woman on earth I would bow down to. So Bridget is just basically a little Karen, you know?
Yeah.
They're just giving each other opening door shit. You opening the door for me now? Well, as it should be. Well, you open the door for me. No, you open the door for me. It's like, oh, good Lord. Okay, ladies. So
then we go to Charisse's NBA Wives event. And they're at this house. And it's like, you know, it looked like a pretty well-heeled fundraiser, like a proper one, not like Katie's, you know, weird conference room fundraiser thing that she did.
Yeah, it was the first fundraiser we've been to that's not in a conference room. So congratulations, yeah. Potomac. And I'm
like,
sorry
well
for the loss of business, Marriott.
Please, it wasn't a Marriott. It was a Days Inn. So I love that there's some lady, she's so obnoxious, she's like, well, you know, these schools, there's so much pressure for the children now. You know what? We turned down Sidwell. We're the first person in history to ever turn down Sidwell. I was like, shut up.
Yeah, that's a rich mom way of saying, my kid did not do their homework.
And now they will not be friends with the Obama's children.
Yeah. We chose Obama's community children. College because we really love being part of the community. And your kid didn't do their homework.
Well, it was like there was this thing that went viral last week. A woman sent an email to a teacher and was like, hello, I just imagine she sounds like Karen Huger. And she's like, hello, my daughter is done with homework for the semester. Yes, she just has too much anxiety. And, you know, it's keeping her up late. And she is waking up in the middle of the night. And she's just too anxious. And she's a child. And she just needs to live her life. So I just regret to inform you that she will no longer be accepting homework. And it's like, and then apparently a bunch of like educators and child psychologists were like, thank you, thank you. You know, children, it's too stressful for the children. It's like,
good. Girl, wait till they get a goddamn job, lady.
Yeah, it's called do your work. You can, it's, please, please.
This fundraiser starts out, I mean, it just gets depressing fast, and it just goes downhill. So Charisse is talking to everybody, and she's like,
she meets a Charisse.
Thanks for coming to my fundraiser. You know, here's what I'm focused on. Charisse is focused on Charisse, and also Sasha's focused on Charisse. That's two people focusing on Charisse. As long as I don't think about Eddie. I'm like, oh, good. So sad. Oh, yeah, and then she meets a guy named Charisse.
She meets a guy named Charisse. She's like, you're Charisse. I'm Charisse.
Listen, I'm not focusing on you, Charisse. I'm focusing on me, Charisse. Hey, will you focus on me, Charisse? Hey, that three Charisse is focusing on Charisse.
So then Monique and Chris show up, and I love it. I think Chris says hi to Robin, and he's like, you look beautiful as always.
What a beautiful home.
What a beautiful day to have a fundraiser. Would you believe Potomac and their zip codes? Ha, 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 ha.
And Juan and Robin come, and Juan goes up to Charisse, and he's like, hey, I'm really sorry about Eddie. I really wish it could have worked out. You know, I called him last week on the golf course, and he said he was going to call me back. He must have forgot that part. And Charisse goes, welcome to my life. He'll call you back before he calls me. Focus on Charisse. Focus on Charisse.
Juan's like, yeah, I just wish it could work out. You know, I don't see what went wrong with Eddie. I call him. He seems so happy. Like, I've never heard him so happy before. You think he'd want to be with you because he's so happy right now on that golf car so close away from you.
It's weird. When I talk to Eddie, he sounds like he's getting laid all the time. I thought, whoa, he must be back together with Charisse. Are you crying?
Surely he's in the proper mindset to get back together with you because now he's finally happy. So then Juan and Chris meet each other, and they just have like a bromance right away. Like, you're a professional athlete? I'm a professional athlete. Yo,
I used to watch you on TV playing basketball.
And he's like, yeah, well, I used to watch you too. So I hear you're looking for a house. He goes,
yeah, we were looking at a house, but unfortunately it was 6 bedrooms and we want 8. We want to have more babies.
And Juan's just sitting there like, okay, well, I just moved to a bedroom and a half 2 hours away. Great to meet you. Glad I came out.
So then Monique starts talking about babies and just going on and on and on and on. And Robin's like, she just does not stop talking.
She likes to share a lot. And Monique really is a trip. She's like, well, my baby's like potty training. I mean, they're potty trained at 6 months, you know, because they get it. They get it. If you talk to them, they really get it. They can understand you. You know, and then they got allergies. And then they're snoring because they got the allergies. You know, garlic.
Garlic. Leaves. You know, I never use garlic in my cornbread. You know, cornbread, the best thing is to do, best practices, 450 degrees in the oven, fat in the skillet. Oh, my God, I love skillets. Have you ever been to Solo Top? Oh, my God, that's great. We have, like, 5 Solo Tops. We're going to buy one. We actually own 5 Solo Tops, and they're all in Vienna. It's amazing. Vienna, both Virginia, and Vienna in Austria, which is not Australia. Oh, my God, did you know that Ashley's married to an Australian? I've been to Australia. I like kangaroos. I like those didgeridoos. You know what? I like dudes. Dudes are great. Do you ever check them? To be fair, though, I feel like Robin is the type of person who's like a little presumptively like, because you know there's some people who, if you're just trying to tell a story, it's like, all right, get to the point. It's like, no, shut up, Robin.
You want to talk more about all that nothing. Robin never has anything to say. It's like, well, Juan came, why is everyone talking about Juan? Because that's all you ever talk about. So then Charisse gets up there
and to give her speech. She's like, thank you so much for coming tonight for my foundation. And all of you who have foundations, give me suggestions on how you make your organization fabulous, because I'm struggling to rebrand this organization. And, you know, everyone says these NBA wives have money. We don't have money. And I'm rebranding myself, too. I want a new chapter, a huge chapter. It's bigger than you think, that chapter, because I've got one of my names.
David Foster Wallace got nothing on my chapter.
What is wrong with her? And they keep panning the audience, and they're like, oh, good.
She was fully, like, having a therapeutic moment, and it was so awkward because she was parading out all her faults. She's like, I'm really bad at rebranding, and I needed help, and you guys are rich. Can you guys help me, please? I'm a new person. I'm this new person. Bon appetit, everyone. And it's like, oh.
And why are you announcing that you need to rebrand their organization? What is wrong with it? It's like you're criticizing the organization while you're giving your – oh, it's just so awkward. Even Monique is like, I'm at a loss of words for once. Bon appetit! Like, great speech.
Bon appetit! Everyone see me in the champagne room afterwards. It's not done yet. Why can't I? Can someone give me some pointers on how to finish the champagne room?
Guys, anybody need a jet printer? So Monique over dinner starts grilling Juan and Robin. She's like, whoa, when are you guys going to get back together? You seem so great together. Everything's going to be great. And they're like, how did you meet? And she says, well, I was dating Chris's high school sweetheart, and I was like, you know, fuck that girl. And then when he was done with her, I jumped on it because I was like, this is great or whatever. And the husband's like, yeah, oh no, she was dating someone else. I'm so sorry I messed that up. And the husband goes, I couldn't wait to see her dump that little dude.
By the way, we should also mention that Robin at one point turns to Juan's like, huh, yeah, there's some makeup on your blazer. There's a woman somewhere that's missing some makeup, huh? And he's like, yeah. So anyway, Robin's getting annoyed.
How did you get makeup on your blazer? He's like, whatever, we're not dating. Okay, sorry, Juan.
So then, basically, you know, Monique is asking about them and their marriage, and Juan's saying things like, yeah, trust is hard, and once you lose it, it's hard to get it back. And Robin's like, why don't you keep asking me about it? I'm like, you know what, Robin, if you don't want people to ask about it, don't bring Juan, you know, as your date everywhere. Like, I don't know, it's kind of like,
it's awkward.
It's not that she's putting it out there, but it's kind of, I don't know.
You know, I give Juan props for actually showing up to things, because he does show up to two things this episode, and usually he doesn't. So at least he's making an effort to be supportive, even though both of these involve the rich, more famous sports person. Like, but you know, I'll put that aside and say at least he's trying. But this conversation was really sad, because Monique and the husband are talking about how they want more babies and how they're just so in love. And Robin's like, this is such a good example of what a marriage should be. And Juan's like, yeah, well, that's a good story. We got married way too soon. I mean, we were 26. We were just babies, but it's her fault. Jeez. And Robin goes, well, being an athlete, you know, you're always catered to, and sometimes it takes retirement for people to really realize what they have. And everybody's just like, awkward, because he's still, he just retired, and he's still not even making any kind of effort. Ugh.
One thing I like about Juan is that he looks really good in a suit, but at the same time, when he wears a suit, he looks like a little boy wearing grown-up clothes. It's so funny. There's something about, like, It's like his neck. It's something about the collar. It's like you see him, he looks like uncomfortable. And then like 2 minutes into this party, the tie was already coming loose and like hanging loose strangely. You know,
Before Chris
he literally
got
looked like
there.
A 13-year-old.
Yeah, he did. And before Chris got there, he was literally hiding in a corner in the dark alone.
Yeah.
They kept showing him. He only came out to talk to Chris.
So then we go over to Giselle, who is having a luncheon with the business partners for her her skincare makeup thing, whatever, Every Hue Beauty. And I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure one of her business partners is Jill Biden. I was like, how did she get involved with this? What is Jill Biden doing messing around with Giselle's like skincare line? I was like,
she's like, look, I'm one of the 12 shades.
I was like, good for you, Giselle, getting Jill Biden on your side.
I thought we were going to meet at the Walden. What was it called? The Willington?
It's the Willard.
Oh, the Willard.
I just think of Willard Scott. It's the something strange about this hotel. It keeps on saying happy birthday to old ladies. We have to interrupt tea service to announce Greta Van Gragragra from Butterscotch Falls, North Dakota, is 103 years old today. Happy birthday, Greta Van Gragragra.
So Giselle has her friends, and basically she met this girl in she met the main business lady in sorority, and she starts telling a story. This lady, she's like, man, Giselle hated me at first, you know? I went to her house and she said, I hate you and I'm going to kill you tonight. And I thought, is she really going to kill me? I was like, wow. Well, Giselle, you got to give the woman consistency points.
Yeah.
Because she still meets people like that.
Yeah. Life is still a sorority for Giselle. So that was basically that. They just were talking about how Giselle's a bitch when to new people.
Yeah, and they're going over the business and Giselle's like, I'm doing this because I want to show my kids that mommy can start a business. She doesn't need to rely on a man like some people named Monique, who just has to rely on a man for everything she does. And it's important I make my own money. And she cut to the white stove. And she's like, I don't want my livelihood to be defined on what my husband gives me, like Monique. Oh, yeah, yeah. You got that house? Yeah, you got it because your famous husband. Bitch, have you ever worked a damn day in your life? Everything you've been given is from your husband. Please stand back. You're just jealous that your husband gave you a white stove, and this bitch has five, like, full-on stainless steel, you know, pizza ovens.
Whatever. Yeah, exactly.
Giselle.
I agree with everything you say, except I like it. I have grown to appreciate the woman who is a bitch, the new girl on these shows, because without them, you wouldn't have any drama. I mean, this is the classic Vicky Gunvalson here. I mean,
it is.
Where would we be without Vicky Gunvalson?
Well,
maybe a
Giselle?
Healthy place as a society, but not a happier place.
Yeah. One thing I'm really learning to appreciate about Giselle is that she will always choose wrong. Everything she says is terrible. And then even if she'll be a total hypocrite and not even see it. And then she'll say some of the lamest burns, which we'll get to later. But it's consistent every week. And you know what? I've got to say I appreciate it. And this show really would be boring without this bitch. So
I was going to say the opposite, which is that I think that her shade is hilarious. I think she is so funny. So even though she is so like catty and mean, the stuff she says in her interviews cracks me up almost every single time.
You're about to hit gold because she's got a bunch of them today. So Monique is prepping her party and she says, oh, did I skip something, babe?
I think it was Karen's birthday.
Oh, you're
Karen's
right. Call. I just skipped
it was
right
fine.
Past
it was,
that.
It was pretty short. It was actually a very lovely scene. You know, it was like a very normal birthday party. You know, they brought in this nice cake. The mom comes in and she was in like a lucid place.
She's like, hi. Like, hi, mama. And then she starts Ray? Giving shit to Ray. She goes,
you know, from what do you remember from day one? I said to you, what are you doing here with my young daughter?
And he's like, ha, 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 ha. She goes,
remember when I called you dirty?
And he's like, well, I passed this woman chopping down tobacco. And she goes,
she didn't chop down no tobacco. Karen was demanding.
And she goes, mother, I was not demanding. She goes,
you wanted that fake fur. And you pushed Bridget right into the dresser.
I wish I can see.
And Karen goes, I didn't push her. I didn't mean to. It's just that she was a little bit chunky and she slipped.
One has to always go after what you want. And then Karen was like, my mother encouraged me to be anything in life. She'd wake me up every morning and say, what do you want to be today? And I knew I wanted to be something. And if it weren't for my mother, well, I wouldn't be where I am today. I'm like, where are you today? What do you do? You, like, you drive around picking up cakes.
Yeah, you're leaning back in a patio chair in your dining room, being a bitch to people for no reason. Where exactly are you again?
Yeah. So then we go over to Giselle's house, where she's making popovers, sort of a surprising twist. And Robin comes over, and she's like, oh, Charisse had a speech, and it was, like, really sad. And I'm, like, supposed to be the sad one, so, like, I don't get it. Juan.
Popovers. It's like what Juan does at our house. And sometimes he's there, and sometimes he's not. He'll just pop over, pick up some clean underwear, and leave. Sounds
and if
delicious.
You open up the oven, if you open up the oven too soon, everything's ruined. And then she starts talking about she's talking about how Charisse was like in a strange place, and she's like, "Monique talks a lot. It's like soliloquies."
I mean, that impressed me.
Me too. I was like, okay. So then we cut over to Monique, and now Monique is getting ready for her party. She's making some mac and cheese, and she's there with her friend Gigi, who is hilarious. We saw her earlier this season, and she was very funny. And Monique is talking about the girls, saying how they're all pretty good. Like, she's like, she really likes the girls, and she likes them because they're all her mom's age, which is shady. And that the only one she has a problem with is Giselle.
And she says, well, Ashley, you know, Ashley's younger. She's 27, but she's married to a really old guy. And Gigi goes, oh, he must be rich, because whenever someone young is with an old guy, it's because of their money. And she goes, please, you date rich men all the time. You date senior citizens all the time. And Gigi goes, yeah, but I got daddy issues.
She's like, let me have that. Which so I thought funny. Was super funny. Yeah, I think, like, actually Monique and Gigi are really funny together.
Gigi's hilarious. It's like, well, I'm not dating rich old guys. I'm dating poor old guys. It's different. And then it cuts to Giselle and Robin. And Robin's like, are you going to go to game night? And Giselle goes, yes, but I don't have high expectations. Maybe I was too quick to judge Monique. You know, maybe it'll be different when I see her in Chris Daniels' home. And, yeah. Chris Samuels' home. Yeah, you got that right, because you didn't get your husband. You didn't get that home. Your husband got that. It's like, yeah, this is going to go great, Giselle.
Yeah, sounds like you have a real open mind. So then Monique is telling Gigi about how, you know, Giselle was annoyed at her for making the five house comment, like that I own five houses. And so Gigi's like, is she a renter? Because only someone who rents would be annoyed by that.
Such a good call.
Something. Yeah, she might be
such
I was like,
a good call.
She sounds like Ronnie. She's got that Ronnie skepticism going.
Yes, with people like Giselle, it never goes off. It's constantly on.
So
like, maybe she's coming extra because she wants my lifestyle. I mean, side yard. Am I right? Side yard, guys. And then she
got that side yard going.
She is trying to judge a book by its cover. But, girl, don't read my pages, because I know how to do things.
What? So then that means that you want her to judge it by the cover. Or just
what
not take you off the shelf.
What are you even talking about? I like Monique more every scene.
Check out my bibliography, because they all say, Vienna, Virginia.
She's like, well, she better come correct, and don't act stupid reading my pages. She better get close, because her finger's going to get chopped off. I ain't playing. Like, okay,
she could try to read my pages, but the joke's on her. It's a picture book.
So Ray and Karen arrive, and Chris is like, hi.
Well, hello, old man.
And I love how Ray shows up in, like, old man khakis, like the ones that, like, my dad would wear, you know, like, hiked up real high, his big old man booties sticking out. I'm like, I love you, Ray. He just seems like the sweetest man. He seems smart. He's, like, very well-mannered. I think he's just adorable, and he should not be on this show at all. He makes me like Karen more, because I actually believe that they have, like, a really adorable relationship, but she's just so – when she's, like, away from him, she's crazy.
You know, Karen is actually way more enjoyable to me this season, and also I think it is Ray, too, but just the fact that she's so full of shit, and then she's also the most ghetto when she gets dirty, you know? I like her shade. Like, she walks in, she's like, hello, what a lovely home. I love that you have an aquarium in the kitchen.
Mm. Oh, my God. Karen, I actually think Karen is a gift to reality TV, and I feel like she hasn't been properly appreciated by the masses just yet.
I'm really happy she's here. We could use another classy woman in 93510-57-432.
Monique's like, why the zip codes? So Giselle shows up and she's brought Cal. Cal, famously, who dared to go upstairs in Shasha's house, season one. They're like, he's the master of the shade on this show.
I don't understand what the hell he's talking about. And Giselle too. They both walk in just being rude, just to be rude, and they're coming up with all this nonsense. He's like, what is this, a driveway? And she's like, huh, are we in Never Never Land? He's like, well, what is that? Rocks in the driveway. Figures, girl.
Pebbles. Someone take us back to bedrock because I see a lot of pebbles, if you know what I'm saying.
Look at this grass in the yard. Can leaves you believe on the tree? It, Cal?
Leaves on the tree. I'd like to see that tree in autumn.
What are these lights on the sidewalk? Everybody stupid who comes here can't see the sidewalk. Oh,
flagstones. I don't see any stars and stripes. I don't know why they call this a flagstone. She's going after everything. Blades of grass. Guess what? I could step in and not get cut. It's not a blade to me.
So she comes in. They come in. And
Giselle is a full-on bitch here. And I'm not going
to. Yeah, of course.
She was a full bitch. Full bitch.
So Monique hugs Cal. She's like, hi, I'm a hugger. I really like hugging. Tight, loose, I don't care. Hug.
I hug in all of my five houses. There's not a single hug that's any worse in any of the five houses.
So she introduces them to Gigi, and Giselle's like, nice to meet you, and then looks away.
It looks away. It was very cold, very, very cold.
And she does not know who she's fucking with. This girl is fucking with the wrong people left and right. So she's looking away, trying to pretend she's like a Disney villain. She's wearing some like Barnum and Bailey, like long jacket thing with these huge shoulder pads. It's just so good.
Yeah.
And Monique's like, oh, hi, welcome to my home. I made the sides and my husband did the meat. Sides, mac and cheese, collard greens, cornbread, you know, sweet potatoes. Sides, you know, like yards, side yard. Have a side yard. Anybody? I have five side yards. Well, actually, 4.5 side yards because one is just a quarter yard. But anyway, welcome.
By the way, that really bothered me with Monique because every single person, she's like, I made the food. I made this. I made the sides. Chris made the meat. But I made the food. I made, like, it felt just, again, you know, this is Monique's problem. She is either a bragger or a self-promoting lady. I mean, because, you know, I think when you put out a spread, you don't say, I made this. You say, oh, we have this, we have this, we have this. And then someone says, did you make this? You say, yes, I made it. But she told every single person, I made the sides, I made the mac and cheese, I made this, Chris made that, I made this. I just thought, like,
I think she's doing that because Giselle is making her sound like she's bragging about her money. So she's I'm down home. I cooked everything myself, you know, like I could have had a caterer, but I didn't have a caterer. I mean, my party planner doesn't even spell leaf right, so I couldn't be that rich, right? Welcome to my home. Mac and cheese, made it, boiled it.
Yeah.
Boiled it.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. She's trying to make herself seem grounded, but she's doing it by bragging at the same time.
Yeah. True. And Giselle's like, well, isn't that nice? I made popovers.
Yeah.
Is there a restroom?
Well, what's funny is that outside, Chris made a joke saying, like,
she only made the cornbread.
Then when Monique was showing everyone the food that she made, Giselle's like, I heard you only made the cornbread. That's what Chris was saying. Mm-hmm. So then Karen and Monique are discussing spade rules, the house spade rules. Giselle and Cal are like across the room and they're just quiet and they're being shady. And Cal's just like, she's never going to stop talking. That Monique is never going to stop talking.
Yeah.
Which is true, but again, pretty rude to be saying it like right in front of them, and pretty dumb because they were like, all of Monique's friends were like within earshot.
Yeah. And so Robin and Juan come in. Juan's there the second time. And she's like, well, I don't remember the last time Juan came out twice in a week. That's good. And they said, is everything okay? She's like, oh, we had some trouble before we came in here. But so they were like fighting in the car all the way over.
Yeah, exactly.
My God. And then she goes, Monique says, well, where's Sheree? I mean, where's Charisse? And Giselle goes, call her tomorrow. She goes, well, do you know something? Is she okay? She goes, I said, call her tomorrow. I don't want her putting her nose somewhere she doesn't belong. I'm like, God, no. Giselle, she just asked how the woman was.
And wasn't Charisse the one who brought Monique in, or was that Robin? doesn't matter. Like, Monique and Charisse are friends, so Monique can call
Charisse.
Giselle's
just being an asshole to be an asshole, as usual.
Yeah, it is her way of saying, I know something and you don't.
Yeah. I said. So yes. She goes, they're whispering and being bitches,
yeah, they're
Giselle and
saying,
Cal. And Gigi goes, so I heard you all. Oh,
yeah,
did you write down what they were whispering? Because I didn't.
Yeah, because Giselle's sitting there whispering. Because again, Monique's blabbing. I think this is when they're talking about the spade rules and then spades rules. And then Giselle's like, you know, we talk about turning the faucet off. And Cal's like, she is a new type of faucet. It never cuts off.
Yeah, see,
and
that's some Cal
that
shade
that
I'm like, what are you
shade.
Even talking about? They're just being idiots.
Yeah.
So Gigi hears and she goes, I hear you all whispering, and if you're whispering in someone's house about them, that's kind of rude. And Cal's like, well, it shouldn't get your panties in a bunch. You should wear some bunchless panties, honey.
And Gigi's like, Cal. Well, I don't wear them. I just started to laugh because it was a good comeback.
And
Giselle's
then like, who this bitch? She better get the fuck off my back. So Monique enters, and he's like, she goes, how's everything going? And he goes, well, Riri is trying to post-op.
And Gigi's like, what? It's Gigi. But by the way, the Riri, that cracked me up because he knew her name was not Riri, but he called her Riri. That was hilarious to me. That to me was hilarious.
But
was
what
funny.
Does it mean when someone says she's trying to post-op?
Post-up?
Post-stop, I wrote. What the fuck does that
even
mean?
He said post-up because posting up, it's like she's basically getting ready to start a fight. She's posting up. That's what it means.
Like thank you.
Like,
I'm like
starting
what?
Up.
So he's like, well, she saw us whispering. And she goes, yes, we were whispering that your home is lovely. And he goes, yes.
Lovely faucets. Are they cooler?
And we like your fish tank. And he goes, and people not minding their own business. I would fucking get these two immediately out of my home.
They're
assholes.
Rude. They were totally being rude. You know, I don't like bad manners, so I cannot support their bad manners.
They're assholes. They're not even funny. They're just dicks. And Monique goes, well, I am her business, and if you come into my home, you're my family. You're considered family.
It's also bullshit.
Yeah, that doesn't even make sense. And she goes, and if Gigi feels that you're being off tangent, like, what?
She's like, I have a big family, you know, because we have five houses, so that's a lot of homes for people to come into.
And I'm used to people hating me and my family. But listen, mother, I'm paying the bill. At the end of the day, I'm paying for your meal. So
eventually Gigi just sort of leaves. And another thing that Cal said that I thought was funny was he was like, I'm going to give her 1, 2, 3, 4 of my teeth. And at first I was like, huh? But then he made that like side face, that like growl where he shows his side teeth.
And then he goes, see the side of them like sharks. It's like, you're an idiot. So
that made me laugh. That made me laugh.
I hate him. I want him to like die in a not die, but like I want him to be in a terrible explosion in her like Range Rover. They're the worst.
I like him. I think that he and Giselle are funny and they're shady together. But in this case, they were both wrong, and then they were acting surprised that anyone called them out on it. So that was bullshit. Although his Riri thing and the side teeth made me laugh.
Okay. Well, we'll just have to give it to each other because I was like, you're both stupid. Shut up. So, let's see.
Michael's going around offering kangaroo jerky. It's like as appealing as anyone would ever want. I mean, I would have kangaroo jerky, but this guy's like, y'all want some kangaroo jerky?
He's
kangaroo
probably
jerky
just
anyone?
Trying to bring
Spice?
Something
kangaroo
more
jerky?
More distasteful to the table than Callan jizz. It's like, you want to try some kangaroo jerky? And everyone's like, no. And
stop
poor,
trying to make Australian food happen. It's not going to happen.
Poor Karen's husband's like, it's good. He's the only one who would eat it. Everybody else is like, no. No.
So back in the kitchen, Ashley comes in and starts telling Giselle and Monique that she heard that Juan has been seeing other people. And Giselle basically shuts it down. And then Monique leaves, and Giselle is like, yeah, I didn't want you to go. Don't say all that stuff in front of Miss I Can't Stop Talking, referring to Monique. So sure enough, some woman named Jill, who I think is the assistant, Jillian, she goes outside and tells Monique, Giselle just said, you're Miss I Can't Stop Talking. So now, which is ironic, because Giselle is accusing Monique of saying Miss I Can't Stop Talking, and it's because of Giselle's big mouth that she now gets in trouble with Monique. So yep. Monique comes in and confronts Giselle, and Giselle is just being a total ice queen about it. And I just I just love how she's, you know, she's the one accusing, making these accusations that Monique is talking too much, which is totally hypocritical. And ultimately, Monique kicks Giselle and Cal out of
Yeah, pretty much. She's like, well, I was talking to Ashley. And she goes, it's my house. And she goes, you're being a little aggressive right now. And Monique goes, I need my preacher to get here because I'm about to cut a bitch. Yeah. I need to say my prayers or something. And she's like, I apologize, but I need to talk to Ashley. And she goes,
yes.
Well, I tried to hug you, and you just stood there acting all cold with your villain jacket or whatever. And she goes, what do you want me to do? And then Gigi goes, well, I'll tell you this. You won't be uncomfortable in your own home. And she goes, well, you don't want to be here anyway, so why don't you just leave?
Yeah. So, and then Giselle's like, I apologize to her. What else does she want from me? I'm like, that was not an apology. Get over it.
That was not. And then Monique goes, strike one, the Willard. Strike two, hookah.
Yeah,
this is definitely strike three. I like it's just their crappy locations for this show. No offense to the Willard, but that was basically like a lobby with weird hats.
Yeah.
So Giselle says, well, she went to 0 and 100 in like 4 seconds. I apologized. And this is my favorite kind of Giselle shade. She goes, I drove all the way out to the middle of nowhere, but that's fine. I'll drive back and get some KFC on the way. At least that food has flavor. Unlike this food. You didn't even have time to eat the food, you stupid hooker.
Anytime anyone puts KFC up on a pedestal as being an ideal culinary choice, you have to have some deep introspection about what's happened in your life.
Or just this Real Housewives franchise. It's like the Real Housewives of Potomac. I think it's the first KFC burn we've ever had. Congratulations, Jizz.
Yeah. So then Giselle goes out to leave and Robin, you know, sort of follows her out to the driveway. And Giselle basically tells Robin, well, Ashley's been saying that Juan is seeing someone else. I'm like, well, so much for Miss talks too much, you know, tells everyone. The whole reason why you didn't want Ashley telling Monique, allegedly, according to what you said, is because you were afraid that Monique was going to go tell Robin. And then you just went and told Robin.
Yeah,
so you basically
like,
proved that either you're bullshit or you just wanted to be the one to break the news to Robin.
Yeah,
she
just wants to start another fight and she has to leave. So she's just throwing all the shit she can in the driveway. And Karen, back at the side yard, Karen's like, whoa, Miss Giselle gets thrown out of another party. She's going to have a lot of framed Xerox rules in her house.
I know. How many times must I go to Michael's and get a picture frame?
And Ashley says, she just takes time to warm up. And Monique goes, well, there's a difference between being warmed up and being a busted trick.
So then Ashley goes outside. And by the way, this is the big all this stuff is part of the big confrontation that we were promised in the beginning. And like so far, it was like entertaining, but it was definitely not a volatile experience. And so then Ashley goes out to where Giselle and Robin are. And Robin's like, oh, you've been saying, I hear you've been spreading rumors or talking about like Juan. And Ashley's like,
yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, well.
She goes,
there was that.
Yeah,
I heard he's seeing someone.
She goes, well, I don't care.
Okay.
So we're like, great. Wow, I'm glad we got the 1 week earlier setup for this gigantic explosive episode.
And Ashley says, are you okay? Because your aura's different. And Robin goes, I don't put my happiness on another person. Oh, Robin. It's like so fucking pathetic at this point.
Then Cherise
shows up just crying. They're like, how are you? She's like, good. No, I'm not good. I'm just trying so hard to be stronger. I thought I was fine. This is okay. This is okay. This is the champagne room.
I need wallpaper for the champagne room. So it's like, and then Cherise starts like hugging Cal. I'm like, even Cal, the man who walked up your staircase?
Yeah. It's like she was so distraught she hugged fucking Cal.
Yeah.
So she's like, well, I was, Giselle says something, I don't even know. And then Monique comes out and she's like, you guys, what's going on? And she's like, we're taking care of it. She goes, no, what's going on really? Because I don't do the BS. I'm like, yes, Monique's coming out for a real driveway fight.
Yeah, she's like, I don't care which of my 5 houses I'm in. I don't do the BS.
This is my circular driveway and we will fight. Dun, dun, dun.
This fight is going through my aerator, which I brought to this party.
And that brings us to the end of Potomac.
Will
Jizz get her Kentucky Fried Chicken? Will Monique's driveway ever be the same? Will Karen get jealous of the patio furniture? Find out next week on The Real Housewives of Potomac.
That is right. But in the meantime, as it is Friday, we'll wrap things up here with a little Crappin's mailbag. That's right. Crappin's mailbag is the feature that we have where you can, if you support us on Patreon, patreon.com/watchforcrappins, you can then write in questions and comments, and then we'll read them on the air, which is always fun and exciting because we always like hearing from everyone. Let's see what comments and questions we have for today. I'm just loading them up. Okay. So, Hava Weber, a recent podcast spotlight or listener spotlight, she says, so recently I have been watching, I've been rewatching the entire series of Gossip Girl. I'm almost finished. And as you two have made at least two references to Gossip Girl in the past couple weeks, I would love to know who you think from the Bravo universe would fit into the Gossip Girl roles. Serena, Blair, Dan, Nate, Chuck, Jenny, etc. Well, were you a Gossip Girl watcher, Ronnie?
I watched the first episode and it was amazing. I was like, What are teenagers drinking martinis in Manhattan for? It was like super dark, really, really dark and very snarky. It was just my type of show. I loved it. And then I guess that was just because it was the pilot, and then they picked it up and the CW was like, this needs to be much lighter and we can't have it be so dark. And it was like a teen comedy kind of thing, and so I jetted.
Well, I watched I think the first four seasons. Season one was spectacular. It was perfection. Season two was also very, very strong. And then season three, they went to college and it was still okay, but it was starting to fall apart. And by season four, they had introduced all this nonsense where Chuck was running a hotel. It was like his family legacy and looking for his mother. I'm like, he is 18 years old and he's worrying about a hotel. I need to get like the petty shit where like it used to be that the episodes were all about like, he said some shit about me. Okay, we're going to fight on the steps of the Met, you know? And then it became like kids dealing with adult shit. So I sort of stopped watching. But that's not what this question's about. Who is who? So I feel like Blair Waldorf. Let's start with her. Blair Waldorf.
Is she the dark-haired one?
Yeah, she is.
Loved her. Meester. She's my
she
favorite.
She was like the queen bee who was the best. And I feel like who are the queen bees who are like the gatekeepers? Who is like the metaphorical gatekeeper on the stairs and from the Bravo universe?
But she also had – like she was the gatekeeper, but she also had this like deep sadness in her because she was never like the pretty blonde one. She was the brunette
exactly.
one, you know. But well, she was, her, I think, way more gorgeous, by the way.
Well, she became the fan favorite because her boyfriend, Nate, she didn't know that, but she was like always wanting to have sex with Nate. She was going to like lose her virginity to Nate, but Nate and Serena had like hooked up in the first episode, like in the past. That was their secret. I feel like Blair – I mean, if I were to say all of the Bravo universe, she's probably like Liz from Gallery Girls, but from current Bravo universe, that's a hard one. I actually, is she like Tamara? I don't know. It's hard.
I think Tamara's meaner. I think of her more as like, yeah, probably Bethany's a good one. I was going to say Kyle, but Kyle just had such a lovely season. Like she was kind of lovely this whole season.
She's probably Lisa Vanderpump, actually.
Yeah, or Kyle, like maybe season two Kyle. Like the season where Kyle was really mean to Brandi Glanville. So that was what, three? Two or three?
Yeah.
So that one where she acts like she's the best and the richest, but she's got this like kind of raging insecurity. And whenever new people come in, she like freaks out and is a total bitch to them. That's the Kyle that I hated and loved.
She's actually, that sounds like a little bit like Giselle or Vicky Gunvalson, to be honest.
Yeah, but Giselle would be... Well, Giselle's just not classy enough. I can't with her.
That's why Vicky Gunvalson doesn't work. I just can't imagine Vicky Gunvalson being Blair Waldorf. I feel like that's an insult to the Blair Waldorf legacy.
Probably Bethany.
Probably Bethany. I would say Bethany or...
But this version Ramona, of Bethany, the
might
rich
be Ramona.
Bethany.
I think it's actually Ramona because I don't think Bethany would care enough to lord over the staircase at the Met. But I think Ramona would. I'm sorry. You can't sit with us, okay? Go feed the pigeons down there with Nelly Yuki, okay? I'm sorry.
Sorry, but you're not invited to my all-girl birthday luncheon that I have every year with the most classy ladies in New York, okay?
I feel like Serena was, like, pretty, and she was the one that everyone wanted to be, but she's sort of boring.
Yeah, like Gretchen.
Megan King Edmonds. Gretchen. We just immediately go to Orange County.
And also, she's the one that after the show ended, she was like, look, I still have a career. And then it just, like, fizzled on Instagram. She's, like, selling, you know, like, slapping her own label on Chinese bought nail polish and shit. And I feel like
has
that's
the best career out of all of them.
Does she still do stuff? Because I saw one movie where she was like the girlfriend of two drug dealers. And I was like, this is so sad. And she's like doing all these nude sex scenes. And I was like, this is so low rent. And then I thought she just went away. Is she still doing things?
Yeah, no, she's considered a Hollywood A-list. And she was in that movie. Yeah, the Serena, what's her face? I forget what her real name is. I'm blanking on her real name. She's like with Ryan Reynolds. She just got into that. She made a comment about Oakland that did not go over well on Instagram. Why can't I think of her name?
I mean, that's so Gretchen too.
Yeah, I mean, I have to look it up because everyone's going nuts.
Hitting the steering wheel, everybody. Sorry.
Okay, wait, I'm gonna look it up. Serena Gossip Girl. She's Blake. I know it's Blake Lively.
Oh, Blake Lively. Yeah.
She's in that movie The Shallows, which I want to see. I haven't seen it, but I was on JetBlue and everyone in my row was watching it. And you know what? Everyone was like getting startled at the same time. Everyone was like, ah!
I'd be like, you go, Shark.
So I guess Gretchen would be Serena. I don't know.
Well, you know what? Probably Lizzie with the bathing suit company who was like kind of boring. I mean, she's brunette, but she was kind of boring. But she could stand up for herself, but didn't really bother. She just kind of showed up for the free food. Yeah. But then after she left the show, we found out she was like the richest one because her company actually makes money.
I just thought of who's Blair. I'm sorry. I have to go back to Blair. This to me is so obvious. It works the best. I think it's Leanne Locken.
Blair, the ultimate Dallas. No, because Blair was like legit rich. Leanne Locken is like trying.
I know, but Leanne Locken would be the one who, I mean, your charity world is over. That's what Blair would say. Only Blair would say something like that and like add that self-importance to it. So
I do
I'm
not remember the episode of Gossip Girl where Blair hits a trolley, but.
But don't you think that like Leanne Locken was abandoned by her mother often and had like a gay father? I believe that.
In the carnival, yeah.
Yeah, at the carny. Yeah. And then Nate, Chuck, let's talk about Chuck. Chuck would be the one Shep. That we all.
Except he Shep. Was kind of a villain. Oh, yeah, but I guess Shep can be a villain.
Actually, wait, I'm going back to Blair.
Cameron?
No, Blair is Caroline Stanbury. That's Blair.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's perfect,
there we go.
Actually.
There
yeah,
we go.
That's
Leanne Locken is like. Leanne Locken was one of Caroline's. That was one of the cronies on the steps.
Okay, so then Shep, I think, would be Chuck. I mean, Chuck had more of a villainous slant to him, but, you know, Shep kind of has that to him sometimes, too. He acts like he's all charming, but he's really, you know, kind of underhanded.
I would actually say Chuck is Carl from Summer House.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because Chuck was like a little date rapey in the beginning. Not saying that Carl is, but I feel like Carl is skeevier than Shep.
So then who's the poor guy? Dan? What's his name?
Dan is like the worst. So it's got to be Vanessa's the real worst, but Dan. Dan's got to be
Peter. I think he would be Peter from Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Well, he's got to be sanctimonious. Who's like a real sanctimonious husband who just feel like, ugh.
Peter.
I feel like he might be PK.
Also, he's poor. So I think that that's like Peter. And then, you know, I don't want to spoil anything. But that's so Peter, the spoiler.
Yeah.
So
Jenny is someone who is like who was aspired to be something great and then flamed out. Like she wanted to be in with Blair and then she basically like was a social climber. But then real life Jenny decided that she wanted to become a rock star. So then like on screen, Jenny started getting raccoon eyes and she just became really annoying. And
oh,
was like,
so she's Tiffany Hendra.
what was it? Style Sanctuary. Sanctuary of Style.
Yeah. Guys, we are having a fundraiser for my husband's, was it her husband? My boyfriend's new album called October. Every song's about being slightly chilly. And it's going to be at the House of Blues, and I'm going to wear a really thick eyeliner.
She might be Juliet Angus, though. Oh, Serena would actually be Caroline Fleming. Obvs. Not to make everything Ladies of London. But Caroline Fleming is totally Serena, just like the one who's effortlessly beautiful and wealthy and wonderful, and everyone's envious of her.
Okay, well, that's the craziest cast of Gossip Girl ever.
We didn't even discuss Nate. Who's a pretty one? Who's a pretty man on one of these shows?
A pretty man.
Oh, maybe T-Rav should actually be Chuck. T-Rav is Chuck. Because he
just sold cocaine out of the hotel and then blamed somebody else.
Nate is just someone pretty. Nate is Craig. Okay, so basically, yeah. Our version of Gossip Girl is when the cast of Ladies of London and Southern Charm come together.
Yeah, pretty much. And then if any of them don't show up for work, we've got Orange County people waiting in the wing.
Something like that. All right. Well, we spent a lot of time on that question, so why don't we wrap up the mailbag? If you guys have any further insights into the Gossip Girl casting for the show, because we didn't even get into any of the other characters, but please come to our Facebook page and leave a comment there, because this is going to bug me. I feel like we could have done better with some of these roles. Everyone, have a great weekend. Be sure to buy a ticket to our show if you're in the LA area. We'd love to see you, and we hope y'all can be there. And in the meantime, go have some great rest. And if you're Jewish, Shabbat Shalom.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Oh, we forgot to close the mailbag. The mailbag closes the episode ends. Bye.
Crap ends.